All right, Mace. So I don't like, Emily told me that she sent you a text
she
and you
did
responded
send me a text.
I did not like the way that she characterized the text that she sent to you. Okay. I did not have a dream about you.
Whoa, okay? whoa. She said you had a dream about me
That's why I want to change the characterization.
Dispel this.
It was not a dream about Steve Mason. It was a dream where you made a
brief
appearance.
You were a piece of it. Yeah.
You were, so here's the very quick version, and I remember I told you guys.
You really need to upgrade your dreams, man.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, Marcus Morris
what
was
a dream.
First.
He's got Kate Bosworth. You've got me.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
Well, mine would be more Mean Girls Lindsay Lohan, but that's another story for another day.
She's just misunderstood, by the way.
Are you open for the comeback, too?
Of course.
Okay, good. We're on the same page there. So I had a dream where I was a member of a professional golf tour, okay? I was playing.
It the Live Tour?
It was a non-specific golf tour.
Okay,
but I was
non-specific
playing,
off-brand.
Well, I thought it was PGA. You said earlier it was PGA.
It was PGA because I was playing with Scottie Scheffler and Justin Spieth were the two people in my threesome.
Okay,
weird. Okay,
I needed to make an eagle putt on the 18th hole to get into a playoff.
Okay,
I made the putt. Okay, so I'm very excited.
Congratulations!
That I'm going, thank you very much. I'm going for reasons that only occur in dreams.
Yes,
the playoff is the next day, not just go to the next hole.
Right. Nobody does that anymore.
So the next day, prior to playing the golf, I had to compete in a NASCAR race, which was terrifying.
So you're both a NASCAR driver and a professional golfer.
Okay. But the NASCAR race involved you, where you were the passenger in my NASCAR.
Oh, interesting.
And I was driving.
Well, that's better than Mason driving. When he's in the Long Beach Grand Prix, his nickname was the human pylon.
Yes.
Because people just kept going around him. The only people he finished ahead of in that race were the two guys that wiped out.
I beat Omar but you got to Epps the checkered flag. Really golfed. I did.
Got to the end.
Flag.
There you go.
All right. So, I didn't know that. I knew you competed. I didn't know that you were last.
Yes.
Or second, third to last.
He lost to a supermodel. I'm not kidding.
Do you remember which one?
Donna Feldman.
Donna Feldman.
Yeah, she's really hot.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mason became friends with all the other competitors. Like I went to high school with Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray.
Oh,
he was in it. And Mason had a great time. He was really popular. Did not bother him that he finished dead last.
Nope, man,
I know. I don't think it would bother me either.
Yeah. I'm not a professional driver.
That you
Donna?
Are a slow driver.
Knockout.
In this race, you were like not yelling at me, but you're, Trav, you got to go faster. We need to go faster. You're driving way too slow.
Right.
And I'm like, Mace, I'm trying not to kill us. Will you just leave me alone and let me do this thing? So that was the only appearance of you in the dream.
Okay.
And then we cut to the golf tournament, back to the golf tournament
golf tournament.
And I no longer had my golf clubs. I'd forgotten to bring them to the golf
course.
Well,
have you heard?
And I got stuck and I couldn't play in the championship.
Have you seen the pictures about what's happening at the airport in Edinburgh, Scotland?
No.
There's 1,100 golf bags that are stuck.
No.
Yeah, Google it. It's like people are taking pictures in the airport. You could just walk in and pick up a brand new set of golf. They apparently didn't hire enough luggage workers.
Okay.
And they said, well, we got to stop doing something.
Get a new
if it's a golf bag, just throw it in there. And they've now got like 1,100. Like, there's seven guys on tour that don't have their clubs.
Oh, no. So this is not like vacationers. These are real
professionals. No, everybody went over to the British Open to, try and play golf and watch the Open.
Sure.
And they basically said, well, golf bags are too hard to move around. We'll just leave them here.
So as someone who has gone through psychoanalysis, we talked about this the last time.
Yes.
What do you make of you being in the NASCAR with me?
First of all, it sounds like the dream is about me, but maybe that's
well,
just
to
me.
To you, it's about you.
Maybe that's just me.
You said you played a supporting role. Is that how you put it?
You had a cameo almost.
Yeah, so here's what the golf thing, I don't know how it, what?
I just thought of a reason why you may have popped up.
Okay.
You and I see each other almost every day.
Just about.
We almost never see each other on the weekends.
That is true.
And we saw each other on the weekend
Saturday.
Last weekend. So I wonder if that was kind of rattling around in the back of my head.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, can I make, and this may be a little politically incorrect, but you need to watch porn. If the person popping into
there was
your,
nothing sexual about this dream. I didn't have
a dream
where I was in love with Mace.
No,
I had a dream where
the people in your dreams could go way up in class.
Upgrade.
Yeah,
upgrade
I mean, seriously. Okay.
Now,
by the way, we were talking about.
I'm completely satisfied.
We were talking about Lindsay.
John Ireland.
We were talking about Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, go
have
on.
Have you ever seen when she basically turned to the dark side 4 or 5 years ago, and she made a movie called The Canyons.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have not. I've seen certain scenes in it.
Yeah,
is that a, that's a horror movie.
No. It is basically said, it's NC-17, and it probably should be X.
Oh, okay.
You speaking of what your commentary a minute ago, the male lead in that is a male porn star.
Yeah, James Dean.
Yeah,
and so are all the other guys that are in it.
Yeah,
that's where they came from.
Okay. What network? What streaming service is it?
No,
this is on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. It cannot be hard to find.
It's part of the bundle. It's part of the bundle. Get it on Hulu.
It made no money, and she basically this is a. You talk about a cry for help.
Yeah.
You watch this movie for about an hour.
Oh.
And you're going, Lindsay Lohan just wanted somebody to check her into rehab or something.
It is so
out of character from The Parent Trap. It's like the opposite of
that.
The Parent Trap.
I'm going to even fast forward beyond that because it's the anniversary of The Parent Trap today as well. Ah. Let's just go to Mean Girls, okay? Like peak Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, that was her at the height of her powers.
She was command. She was throwing all of her pitches for strikes. She was in complete control of her game.
By the way, I just like to say, stop trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah,
stop trying to
make fetch happen.
It's not happening. That version of Lindsay Lohan is not in the canyons. Are the canyons or canyons?
Canyons.
Yeah. This is one of those 5 minutes in, you're like, yeah, this is really bumming me out.
Well, no, it is her basically upsetting. Without any more real acting options, so I'm going hard porn.
Well, you can skip it.
Yeah. No, you do you not said, skip it, Slee. Do it for research.
You said you skip to certain parts of it, so maybe I'll just skip to certain parts of it.
It's deeply underwhelming.
Yeah. Hey, I heard you guys earlier talking about the fact that you were looking at the Nielsen ratings for sports.
Yeah.
Did you guys not know this, that even 5 years ago, 48 of the top 50 sporting events were NFL games?
No, I did.
It's like the fact that you said, I think you were surprised you said the NBA was 30th. That happened. That's been going on for 10 years. If you go back and look at the top 50 watch sporting events of the year, occasionally the Masters will jump in there, but it'll be in the 40s.
Think Olympics got
it'll be
some.
In the 40s.
The
yeah, did. If it's an Olympic year, it'll jump in. But that's why, think about
it. But there were some college basketball. It wasn't just so much that they were down the list and the NFL was dominating. It was that college basketball was ahead of it, that the Olympics were ahead of it. Some other
Duke, kind North of Carolina, I think, was in
a
there.
A little bit niche along the way, or niche. Is it
well,
niche
the world,
niche?
The world's,
niche.
Niche.
Yeah. You could have Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
And Game 7 in the NBA Finals, and I'm not kidding, if there was a game
Lions,
between
Jags.
The Jets and the Jags, it would get the highest number. NFL is king.
Chargers,
no
Raiders,
matter.
That Week 18 game,
preseason
John?
Games. NFL preseason games do better than Major League Baseball and NBA playoff games.
The Week 18 Chargers, Raiders had almost double the ratings of Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Right.
Really?
Every year. And by the way, it's the same with you put the World Series numbers up against it, put the Kentucky Derby up against it. But people just love football.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it.
You know, it dawned on me what that dream may be.
Go on.
So, obviously, Sliwa knocked it out of the park on the Culture Pop podcast. Was fantastic.
Thank you.
Kaplan has done it. Ireland has done
it. No, I know I'm the only one that has not.
Sedano has done it.
Yeah.
It's time for Travis. Oh,
that's what it is.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
And you're driving fast, and I'm coaching you along, and it's the Culture Pop Podcast.
That's the best explanation I've heard so
that
far.
That makes sense. Because,
why is Scotty Scheffler standing in the background?
Yeah, that I can't. Why
is those guys are in every tournament. Yeah. Now.
Okay. Is Emily? Is this going to happen tomorrow? Do they
this up for you guys. So Emily met somebody, Bumble, was it? Is that the
she's got a
Bergman was on there before long time ago.
She met somebody on Bumble and they decided they were going to go out tomorrow night.
Yep.
And texting back and forth.
Is Bumble the one where the girl gets to kind of control
correct.
It, Emily?
Yeah, correct.
That's one where you hold the cards in Bumble.
Okay. So they're texting. They've gone off the app and they're texting back.
They've yet to ever talk on the phone.
They've had.
We were just talking about this yesterday. But
so they're going, like he said, I had a productive day. And she says, oh, what makes it so productive? At that point, her phone rings and it's the guy that we've decided to name Paulie.
At 10:45 at night.
10:45 p.m.
Yeah. Yes. So
they've
never talked.
But he knows Paulie she's up because they're texting.
There you go. That's exactly. It's an important part of the story. Emily declines the call. And then texts back and says, can't talk right now. So far, so good.
Right.
Yeah.
And then says, I'm watching TV.
Is that literally the text?
Yes.
I'm watching TV.
Okay, let me open up this text
Maybe there was another sense.
I might eject from you,
you
after
think
that.
That's think
brutal. I'm watching TV.
And
TV's on all the time.
And it's DVR.
It's streaming breaking or Better Call Saul.
Emily, you didn't think that that would come off as a complete blow off?
I think I meant it to come off as a blow off.
But now, in the next draft, you say you're still willing to go
on
this
stage.
I still am willing to go on this stage. This is not the first time he also asked to call me. He wanted to call me the day before, too. And I
what
didn't
is it with your generation that doesn't like to talk on the phone?
I don't like to talk on the phone.
I hate to talk on the phone.
I talk to my mom and my brother, and that's
but
it.
If it's somebody I'm going to date, I'll talk to him on the phone.
Sure.
Yeah,
I would
sure.
talk
and
to him.
And they've never talked on the phone yet.
No,
I never met him.
Your reaction, Ireland, was mine exactly. Like, you know, he's not calling. He's gone. He's down the road.
So do you think that's happening tomorrow?
Because you know, if she just said, "Hey, I'm sorry, I can't talk right now."
Yeah,
that's fine.
Let's chat tomorrow. Let's chat this. By the way, he shouldn't have called at 10:45, and they've never talked before.
No, there's a skill to this. For example, Emily, do you know what time it is?
Right now, 1:07.
Okay, that's not what I asked you.
Yes, I do know.
Do you know what time it is?
Yes.
Okay. You gave more information than you were required to give.
Emily, does this sound familiar?
In other words, when the guy called and you didn't want to talk to him, you should have stopped after you wrote,
can't talk right now.
Yeah.
Does this sound familiar?
And then
Emily?
You control the narrative. Now he thinks you're not into him.
By the way, or
ghost. Which it sounds like maybe true.
Kind of
ghost the second text. Do not respond to the second text.
Well, it's an aggressive decline, too. You could have just let the phone just ring.
I stepped out of the room, didn't see that you called.
Bam!
Sorry.
Update is, he texted me back literally just now.
So he's probably listening.
He said, "No worries, I got you." And that's the response to me saying I was cleaning and watching TV. But this is exactly almost 12 hours later?
Okay, he's listening.
No worries, I got you. What does that
mean?
He's exactly
obviously listening, so he still wants to go out. How do you feel about meeting him in person?
I would go out with him in person. I think we're having bad vibes over text.
You've gone from, I didn't want to go out with him anyway, to you'll still go out with him. Which one is it?
I like meeting people.
I'm with Emily.
It's not the end of the world if he doesn't want to. But if he does want to, I will do it.
You never know what's going to happen when you meet in person.
It's not going to work.
How do you know?
Because of this text exchange.
Exactly right.
This is going to cast a pall over the entire potential relationship.
So I think
the question
is
if they go out tomorrow. Because we're not even talking about anything further. They're set up to go out tomorrow.
If you were texting somebody that you were trying to take out, and their response was, "I can't talk, I'm watching TV," do you ever reach out again?
God, I can't talk. I'm watching TV.
I think I shut
cleaning
the door.
My socks. This is so random.
Yeah. No, it is. It is.
And I'm sorry. And cleaning too.
Yeah, that's cleaning. Worse. And I was. I'm in the midst of doing things.
I picture like rubber gloves and what's the thing the women with the red thing that they tie.
You didn't need to mention the TV or the cleaning. I just can't talk right now.
I've made mistakes.
Yeah.
If you're trying to torpedo a mission accomplished.
Yeah.
They're set to go out tomorrow.
This would be an upset if this thing goes more than one date.
I don't think it's going more than one date, Emily. Do not get your hopes up. This is not going more than one date. I would be shocked if it goes
more
than
one date this week.
Who has called her and asked her out on the air on our show has resurfaced, too. So we have another potential Connor.
So she's got some irons in the fire.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've heard Connor on this show before. Yeah, so
he's got some options.
Connor's cool. Very earnest. Yeah.
He came to the Mandy's. Came to the Mandy's.
Connor, was it his cousin?
Sister.
It was his cousin.
Did you meet Connor?
He called in
the first day.
I know. Would you be this cold, Emily? So when matter of fact, this is how long ago it was. I was working in TV in San Diego, and I spent the day. It's typical. You get sent out in the morning with a photographer, and you spend the whole day together working on a story. So this photographer I was working with was a good-looking guy, young, single, in San Diego. And I said, "What time are you off tonight?" He goes, "I'm off at 5:30. I go, "What are you doing later?" He goes, "I got a date at 6. Because I'm meeting this girl for dinner at 6. And I go, "Do you know her?" He goes, "No, it's a blind date. Somebody set it up." And I go, "Okay." And I go back to work. And I look up at about 6:20. He's come walking back in the door. And I go, "What happened to your date?" He goes, "Not a match." And I went, "How long did you stay?" He goes, 5 minutes.
Oh, that's
I went,
that's hard.
What do you mean?
Man.
5 minutes? He goes, I just said to her, I'm not feeling it, and I left.
I could never do that.
I could never do that either.
Now, I've done variations of that. Like when I was meeting people on Match, and I would show up at it was always coffee. And, you know, we'd finish a cup of coffee. I'd say, hey, great meeting you. You know this isn't going to happen, right? And then I'd leave.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's
but you didn't, to me, I think that's direct.
You didn't take a sip of your cappuccino
you owe them
and leave.
At least a cup of
that's
coffee.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. I don't think most people do that either.
I don't want to shine people on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know,
I mean, I'm a catch. I don't want to shine people
on. You've heard Mason has a great joke about this. Have you heard his joke about second dates?
Yes. I'd like to hear it again.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember. What's the first part of it?
What do lesbians do on a second date? They rent a U-Haul. What do gay guys do on a second date? What second date?
It's good the second time.
That's some honesty.
Holds up
right
well.
There.
Holds up well.
Emily, you know what you got to do? You got to turn the tables on him. And you should call him.
Yeah, call him.
You should call him and see what happens.
That's good.
And with no purpose for your call.
No, exactly.
Like just call him to say hi. What are you doing?
Just totally out of context. Totally out of left.
Tried to get her to call him during the show, but didn't happen.
That could go a different direction.
That could go wrong.
Mason in Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey people, it's day after the All-Star Game. Thankfully, the ESPY Awards are not downtown. They're at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, so we don't have to deal with all the craziness down here, but the ESPYs are on.
And the Dolby Theater is smaller than the Microsoft Theater. It only holds about 3,400.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah,
I've been to the Dolby Theater.
I think it's because of COVID. I think they wanted to control it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But Steph Curry's going to host it.
I also think it's got an appeal being on Hollywood Boulevard. We did it
LeBron
one year.
Hosted. We did the show from Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah,
but we didn't go to the ESPYs.
It was a red carpet. We were broadcasting from there, and it was like being on the face of the sun. It was so hot that day. It was so hot.
Ridiculous.
That day. So All-Star Game was really, really fun last night.
Yeah, I mean, that was good.
This is one of the things that baseball gets right. I thought the David Ortiz interviews were great. I thought everybody being mic'd up was really cool. It was a so-so game. I mean, it's 3-2 game. Bergman, go ahead and do your Tony Gonsolin.
Yeah, how you feeling now about all this there, John? Why shouldn't he start game one of the playoffs? Why shouldn't he start the All-Star game? What
this,
is going on
way, this
here?
This is what he went on with me about today.
Yes.
What? That you're down on Gonsolin, who's 11-0 and leads the major leagues in ERA? Because he was the losing pitcher in the All-Star game?
He's just arguing that he shouldn't necessarily be the automatic starter for game one in a playoff
series.
That's
exactly
which is true.
Well, I now think Kershaw healthy would probably be the guy. Right? The way he's pitched his last two starts?
Yeah, depending on what Buehler comes back as, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Buehler wasn't good even, Greg, when he was there, right?
No, I mean, he was kind of up and down. Yeah, he wasn't.
Still
yeah, I still don't know why you're down on Gonsolin. What else
there
is he
no
up
down.
To?
No,
you just
no
mocked
down.
Him. You just
I'm mocking you, sir.
Wait a minute, but you're mocking me standing up for Gonsolin.
To be the starter in game one of a playoff series because he had a good first half of the season.
Well, Greg, had Kershaw not been like healthy, Gonsolin would have started in the All-Star game.
No, Alcantara would have.
Why?
No, I think they'd have given it to the home team no matter what.
Because he got lit up in his last start before.
But they still would have, no matter what, if Kershaw
so.
Wasn't the
I
starter.
I mean, 11-0 is 11-0.
I mean, it's very rare that somebody from the home team has got a starter of the caliber and with the success that Tony Gonsolin did. You've got to start him in the All-Star game.
Possibly. But
you
I mean,
start a Dodger at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why you're saying that. But the AL started Shane McClanahan, which, you know, really cares about that.
Yeah.
So
the weird thing about the Gonsolin conference is that, you know, I've been expecting all along Gonsolin to sort of
come back to earth,
regress to the mean. And we were seeing the beginning of that, the last start. I mean,
did Tyler
last
Anderson get in the game?
Game.
He did not.
Last
he did
night?
Not.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember him pitching.
Yeah, but he's an all-star. Didn't. That's all that matters to him.
Yeah, he's an all-star. So, I thought, I thought Kershaw, by the way, this debate raged on Twitter last night. throwing to first base with Shohei Ohtani, I got multiple tweets saying it's the equivalent of taking a walk in the 7-10 All-Star game, throwing to first base in the first inning of an All-Star game. What did you think?
I have no issue with throwing to first base. Right.
He was going to steal the bag.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you just say give it to him?
Yeah,
no.
You can't just say go ahead, take second.
Either you try and win or you don't try and win.
Am I wrong here? Or?
No, you're absolutely right.
Hey, is it just me? But one of you guys texted me, I think it was you. That Indians closer looks unhittable, doesn't he?
He was ridiculous.
He's throwing a 100-mile-an-hour cutter.
Yeah, Classe is his last name.
Yeah,
I never heard of him until last night.
He did against the Dodgers earlier in the year when they played.
Oh, my God.
He just completely ran through him.
Struck out the side last night, including Kyle Schwarber.
I mean, like, Gratterall throws 100 miles an hour, but he doesn't throw a 100-mile-an-hour cutter.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of movement anyway.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have a lot of movement. This guy's ball was moving all over the place. This guy was something else. So it was a really fun night. We got all kinds of stuff from this game. I thought this was the nice thing, and I think we got a good version of this. There was a really – you ready for our sweet moment of the day? Let's have our sweet moment of the day.
Oh, is this a Kershaw thing?
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah, so little kid – wait a minute. Do you have this or no?
Yeah.
Jorge, is it on there?
Yeah.
He put it in. Kershaw. All right. So Clayton Kershaw was doing a press conference, and the very last question was from this little kid who stepped up to the mic, and this is the way that sounded.
Colorado, and I want to tell you a quick little story.
Okay.
So my grandpa loved you. He watched the 1988 series, and he wanted to meet you and Vince Scully one day. So this moment is important to me because I'm meeting you for them.
Oh, wow.
And he was from Redondo Beach, and a little while ago, some years ago, he died from brain cancer. And, oh my gosh.
Oh, come here, dude. It's great to meet you. Great to meet you. Thanks for telling me. That took a lot of courage to tell me that. So I appreciate that. Great to meet you. Your dad sounds like an awesome guy. Yeah?
That's very nice.
Could not have handled that any better.
No. That's a really sweet moment.
And there, let's just say I've been in a lot of those press conferences. You've been in a few of them. There are a lot of people that would have botched that. Kershaw is the opposite.
Yeah, no,
he's like exactly the guy you want. He's got kids roughly that age. He's genuinely a good dude, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just good for him.
Yeah, I thought that was great. That's like Bergman's Goodable. Like when Bergman reads really nice, happy stories from some story called Goodable, and then we go, aw, that's so sweet.
It was a great moment. You're right, though. The way that Kershaw handles it is perfect.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
You think Russ would do it?
Yeah,
exactly. Happy.
Oh, that's right. That's what we do for the Goodable stories, yeah.
I'd have to bring that back. Let me find some Goodable
stories.
You should
bring that back.
Well, I told you guys that somebody did a TV news show once, years ago at Channel 2, where it was good. They called it Good News.
Yeah, Good News.
Lowest rated show ever produced.
Good News!
Yeah.
Nobody wanted
Good News.
You know what people want? People
they
want
to know why the 405 is jammed.
People want to laugh. People want edgy. People want conflict. People want controversy. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Would Good News do anywhere near as well as the Car Chase Channel?
No, the Car Chase Channel is a success waiting to happen.
Isn't the Good News Channel the Hallmark Channel? It's all schmaltzy.
No, because you don't watch as many Hallmark movies as I do.
I don't watch any.
There's always here's the formula for Hallmark movies. Yeah. In the beginning, it appears that the girl has a perfect life.
Yes.
And she has a boyfriend and a job and everything's going well. Then in the first 20 minutes,
along comes,
it turns out the boyfriend is not all he was cracked up to be.
Yes.
He is either a cheating loser or he doesn't support her job. And all of a sudden, despite the fact that all these girls on a scale of 1 to 10 are like 11s, they are thrown back into the single life. And it looks like their life is
over.
Don't
they all wind up with their best friend?
And then within the next 10 minutes, a way better looking guy comes along.
Yep.
And then they start hitting it off.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be happily ever after. And with 20 minutes to go in the movie, conflict again, saying they can't
all
be
is lost.
Yeah,
they
can't. They can't be together. One of them gets their dream job and has to move across the country, or one of them has a dog that that they need to go save or something. And then in the last 5 minutes, the guy who looked like he was lost will come back.
It's a happy
and
ending.
It's a happy ending.
Yeah,
that's, so that's
there you
it.
Have it. You don't even have to watch Hallmark Channel. That's every movie.
No, and by the way, they're all based on. Other other movies that we've seen before.
Right, right.
Like the other day, I saw the one that was our buddy Jamie Denton was in this one with Terry Hatcher.
Yeah,
was basically a ripoff of that movie Cheadle was in, The Family Man, Cheadle
yeah,
and
right,
Nicolas Cage,
right.
Where you get a an angel comes down and lets you see what your life would have been like. And then they
which
just
was stolen from
stole
It's a
the
Wonderful
plot.
Life.
Right, which is and then occasionally they'll steal from like. Legally Blonde, they'll just redo that movie, or the It Happened to You, they'll win the lottery, and so it's all a ripoff. TV's Clinton Yates joining us. Hi, Clinton.
Hey, CY, what's going on, man?
I'm doing well, man.
Yeah, are you still sore?
Listen, my Theragun has been getting.
I used my Theragun today.
More work than ever.
There was a Theragun actually at the 7-10.
I did not.
The Lakers travel with six of them.
Oh, there are 10 in every single Major League Baseball dugout in the world.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So I haven't talked to you. How do you think it all went off?
I think it all went off well. So we're not talking about the 7-10 All-Star Friday night anymore. We're talking about MLB All-Star Weekend.
Were you there last night?
I was there last night. I was at the Home Run Derby. I was there before the Futures game.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, the number one takeaway, Ireland, it's too hot to play this game on a regular basis on the West Coast. There's a reason they play games at 7 p.m. here in Los Angeles in the summer. It's
because
well, there's a heat wave all across the country right
yes,
now. But if we would have, to your point, Clinton, if we would have played this game in, like, yeah, you grew up a Nats fan. If we would have played this game in D.C., it would have been much cooler.
I mean, it's hot, but it's at night.
Yeah.
And so it was a noticeable
thing
in
it's
the home run.
And by the way, you guys know where it's going next year?
Seattle,
another West Coast city.
Yeah, but that's also a cooler
Seattle's
climate.
Cooler than here.
Exactly. So there was that. But also, you know what I found? I found that one of the cool things about, I think, where MLB is right now is that the game itself, immaterial. The days of Charlie Hustle knocking some guy in the next week because he wants to win it for the NL, that's so far from what we think about as to what All-Star Weekend is now. It's a display of the cool characters doing what they do with other players in the league.
Were you actually at the game, or did you get to watch any of the TV broadcasts?
I was at the game.
Okay,
I saw some of the TV
broadcasts. Fox absolutely hit it out of the park.
I thought so, too.
They were talking to – I've never heard this before. They were talking to starting pitchers. At one point, they had the pitcher and the catcher mic'd. It was two Yankee guys, so they were friends, and they were talking to them, but – they were talking to the kid from Seattle, Rodriguez in the outfield.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch the Field of Dreams games coming up on August 11th, and they're going to do stuff like that again. Fox just gets it now when it comes to producing baseball.
I was at the last Field of Dreams game, and I think it'll be another good one, but I'll say this quickly. Normally, All-Star games, Super Bowls, these things have a very corporate vibe. You know this.
Yes.
Corporate Greg knows this, as this is his lineage.
They have a
very sort of like the people there are not the individuals that are normally there, but Greg, I was looking over – right over on the reserve level at the gates, like looking down upon them when they opened, people doing that thing. Gates open, they go screaming on a dead sprint, Greg, to their seats. Dodger fans showed up for this, and it was a definitely cool vibe for those who decided to do it. It was not full of just randos who would come in town. It was blue and
nice.
True.
Okay, so Clinton, before you go, Darren Revelle, who used to work at ESPN, and it is now out doing kind of sports business type stuff, put up a poll. Mm-hmm. What league has the best All-Star game? And he basically put up the four major sports, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL. What do you think number one was?
I think NBA was probably number one.
No,
I think
number
Major League Baseball.
I think Major League
Major League Baseball 51%, so pretty convincing. NBA second, 33%.
NBA is fun.
NHL 14%. Here's the shocker. We're just talking with Travis and these guys. Football is a ratings behemoth.
Yeah.
If you look at the top 50 rated sporting events last year, 48 of them football. In this poll, Revelle's poll with more than 14,000 votes, NFL. 2%.
That doesn't surprise me. The Pro Bowl is a non-entity. They don't even play it some years.
Now, they're talking about getting rid of it all
although it gets ratings. Sort of that's the weird thing.
It does get ratings.
Yeah.
It does. Weirdly, I mean, if you look at the ratings for the Pro Bowl.
Because keep in mind, it's
really
normally
good.
On the week before the Super Bowl,
so
and everybody wants football. Yeah.
Wants
and
a
it
little
was
fix
cool when
football.
It was in Hawaii and you had a bunch of different helmets. But, like, I don't know. I just feel that, like, we get so much football now.
Nobody is invested in it.
Not a soul.
Nobody is invested.
People are
not even the players.
Right, yes, the player, exactly. Like the players last night are invested in it. I mean, they understand the spirit of it. It's not like wildly. Ray Fosty is not going to go
retire. Yes,
exactly.
Any issue with Kershaw throwing over to first base to pick off Ohtani in an All Star game?
Absolutely not. Did you see what Ohtani said to him beforehand? He said, "First pitch, first swing. That's it." Went after it. Next pitch. Bang, picked off. It was a great
That's
moment.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah,
was
I liked
pretty
it.
Cool. He said it in English, too, by the way.
Did he?
Which we do not hear Ohtani speak in English a lot. Not that that really matters. He's full well capable of doing what he chooses to do. But
sure.
I thought there was a star power element, Ireland, that I know you like a lot, that definitely was in the proceedings that is not necessarily normally there at the All-Star game. Because, again, once again, it can feel very corporate. It was not that. This was a Dodger event that was an All-Star game at Dodger Stadium.
Well, here's the other thing. Baseball is, and all research indicates, a regional sport. Like, people watch, like, people that live in Los Angeles watch the Dodgers. They're very unlikely to watch a game between the Royals and the Guardians.
Sure.
All right. But in football, we would easily watch a game between the Chiefs and the Browns.
Right.
You know, it would do a huge number here. So, what's kind of cool about the All-Star game is you get to see these guys. Like, I had no idea how good Rodriguez was until the home run derby.
Seattle?
Okay. And then I just said to Mason, this closer for the Indians, who are for, I guess I have to say Guardians now, 100 mile an hour cutters. I mean, come on.
Guys are hitting buck 04. You know what I mean?
How you hit that guy?
I liked it because of that factor as well. But also, there were 35, I think, first-time All-Stars this year. I think there were 38 last year. There's a whole new crop of people to learn from if you're a baseball fan. Sorry, the days are over.
Yeah, like, who was that second baseman that made that behind-the-back play
that was
early
beautiful.
In the game?
That was a fun play.
I'd never heard of that guy.
But I brought my scorecard, and it was like the, you know, the extra
Did
guys.
Did you actually try to keep it?
I didn't
it
score
with
the game. I was just using it as a memento. But the extra guys thing, it was like a mammoth section
of
the scorecard.
The American League used 9 relief pitchers,
it's a lot.
I think.
It's a
and
lot.
By the way, this is baseball in a nutshell, right? You get every inning another guy throwing 100 miles an hour, and it winds up being a pitcher's game.
Quickly, the most important thing that I did this weekend, though, however, was I attended the Nelly Mookie Betts after party last night.
Really?
Players were there.
Wow.
Nelly performed. Mookie was in the building dancing with his wife on stage to Hot in Here while Nelly performed.
Very nice.
It was fantastic.
There you
go.
It
was a nice little, you know, arts
a lot of
district.
Famous folks there?
A lot of famous people there. A lot of baseball players. I guess you can call them famous. Not necessarily super famous. The strangest fame person that was there. I don't know if this is going to resonate in this room. It'll probably resonate later with Sonato and Cap. Drake's dad was there.
Oh.
That
Drake
guy,
Sr.
Dennis Graham is his name. And
I know nothing about Drake's dad.
Do they call
dad.
Him Drake Sr. ever?
No, they don't.
No,
they call
right.
him Dennis Graham because he's relatively well known on his own. But I saw that guy. I was like, this is interesting. So had a good time at All-Star Weekend
awesome,
from a baseball
man.
Standpoint. Had a good time from a socialization standpoint. Headed to the ESPYs right now with Carlo.
Nice. Have a great time, man.
Thank you, sir.
The big CY, Clinton Yates stopping by there. At some point, Michael Thompson's going to be here, too.
Yeah, and it's Michael's game today. We'll get all that going on later. Have fun tonight.
And we got a couple of cool clips coming up next from guys mic'd up and guys interviewed during the game last night, the All-Star game last night at Dodger Stadium. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
He was there yesterday, Bad Bunny, playing Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny was there yesterday?
Yeah. Well, at
the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, home run derby.
That's Jorge. By the way, we're talking about Bergman. You think I give you a little too much?
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah, you don't care. Jorge, but we, yeah, Bergman is soft. That's what Jorge just said. Jorge, you told me to say that.
No, I did not.
Yeah, everybody loves Jorge. Bergman could
help. Everybody does love Jorge, and it's like you were saying.
It's like a sitcom. Everybody loves Jorge. You've got the adorable dad. You've got the sparky wife. You've got the beautiful baby. And Jorge all in the middle of it.
Do you have a little dog?
No.
Little dog would be good.
You need to get a dog.
Would make it.
Yeah, that would actually fill out the whole family.
Yeah. No show. Hard pass.
So a bunch of stuff happened
Screw
last
you,
night
Jorge.
At the All-Star
I like
game.
Better.
Yeah, what, by the way, what is your name, Jorge?
Screw you. That's my name.
There you go. That's what I'm talking. We haven't done a Jorge acting scene in a while.
Oh, yeah. We're due.
Yeah, we are due for one. I'm going to start looking for a speech.
Can we switch roles for a little bit? You can everybody be mean to Jorge?
No. Nobody can be mean to Jorge.
It's not possible.
It just doesn't work. Yeah. Doesn't work. So last night at the game, Fox did a great job. They really did. They really get how to sort of capture the spirit of the All-Star game. It's supposed to be fun. It's an exhibition, and it was really fun last night. And there were a couple of moments that I thought were cool. First of all, everybody knows that Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees are trying to, we think, work on a new contract.
No, that's inaccurate.
Okay.
They were trying to work on one before the start of the season, okay. And then they couldn't come to a deal.
They shelved it.
And now Judge is the presumptive American League MVP.
Now, will he be a free agent at the end of the year? He will. Okay.
And many Yankee fans heard this clip you're about to play. Marley Rivera, who knows all these guys, she's an ESPN reporter based in New York, and she was doing a live TV around the cage thing on ESPN Plus. And people think the way Aaron Judge reacted here indicates that he may not be a Yankee next year. Listen to it and tell me if you agree.
And he has a son named Jacob who came up the other day really upset from his school in Astoria. He just came up and he's like, are you telling me that Aaron Judge may not be a Yankee after this year? What do you have to tell to Jacob right there and to all your fans that want you to remain in a Yankee uniform? I wasn't going to put you on the spot. I mean, we're on live TV.
Yeah, no, Jacob, buddy. You know, we got a lot of great Yankees on this team. You know, there are a lot of great Yankees be here for a long time, you know, so don't be upset. Don't be upset. Hopefully you'll be a Judge fan for life.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for your time. Back to you guys.
Wow.
You agree? Does that sound like somebody's got one foot out the door?
Long gone. See you later.
When, you know, it's not like the New York media to overreact to anything.
But, I mean, I think that genuinely deserves a reaction. I mean, he's clearly dancing, right? He's dancing and trying to not answer the question. Hey, there are a lot of great Yankees. It's not just me.
And Marty kind of threw him under the bus. What do you say to this little kid that doesn't want you to leave?
You know? By the way, this is live TV.
Yeah, it's like, oh, gee, thanks.
Wow, thanks for nothing, Marley. Thanks for nothing.
Clayton Kershaw handled it just fine.
Yeah, but Clayton Kershaw had the kid right in front of him.
True.
Your judge didn't have the kid in front of him.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. This is why I think the Yankees are interesting in the Juan Soto market, because they've already got to sign Aaron Judge, or you think they got to sign Aaron Judge. Do they really have another $400+ million in him for Juan Soto? I don't know. That's why the Mets, I think, are kind of, according to most, the betting odds in Vegas are that Juan Soto winds up with the Mets.
I've heard winds up in New York with the Mets and the Yankees. You hear the Dodgers mentioned a lot because, you know, most people think they're going to cut
the Padres.
They're going to cut bait on Cody Bellinger, the Dodgers. And so there's room for Soto to come play here. Although Soto right now is a right fielder, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Right fielder, left-handed bat.
Either Mookie or Soto would have to move to center.
Right. Bellinger in center.
No, I'm talking about if Bellinger leaves.
Oh, you're talking about next year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe you put Chris Taylor in center and put Soto and Mookie on either side of him.
Because if you were to make the trade right now, you would have an elite outfield of Juan Soto, Cody Bellinger, and Mookie Betts. That'd be a great defensive outfield.
Right.
It would be an outfield with some pop. Obviously, Bellinger at this point is a 200 hitter with 25 homers and 75 RBI, something like that. So you can get by with him for right now. But if you got a chance to upgrade and add a player the caliber of Juan Soto, you absolutely do it. And by the way, last night there were some Dodger fans out in were they in left field or right field? They were on the outfield. And they were chanting.
I think they were in left field when Soto was out there.
That's right, left field, yeah. Here they are. There's some chants you will hear. And you know, there are thoughts, John, out there that at least one guy we read that you found on Deadspin says he thinks it's inevitable that he winds up a Dodger.
Well, the Dodgers have the most prospects that you think the Nationals would want.
Yeah, they've got the best farm system in baseball, yeah, along with some major league talent that they could afford to part with.
Right. By the way, did you hear somebody asked Dave Roberts, what's your favorite Clayton Kershaw moment? And it's a moment where you were there.
Okay, let's listen. Let's listen to it right now. I don't know.
Okay.
I've seen him throw many pitches, make many starts, but running out of that bullpen in Texas after we won the World Series. So the irony is I've got many memories of him as a pitcher, but the one that stands out is him running out, not having thrown a pitch. So this is after he was in the bullpen, potentially pitching in that game, sixth game in the World Series. So Julio Urias closed it out, Clayton running onto the field in tears, and just me hugging him, embracing him, telling how proud I was and how much I wanted it for him. He's just been such a great player on the field, off the field, as an advocate for baseball. He does so much for charity. And, yeah, no better ball player.
Yeah, he was. So that was it. That was down in Arlington. Clayton Kershaw bursting out of the bullpen when the Dodgers actually won the World Series. By the way, people say, yeah, they didn't win because of Kershaw. Well, they didn't win because of Kershaw, but he was 2-0 with a 2.31 ERA in that series.
Yep.
He had a very, very good series. All right, coming up next for you, going to spin the wheel of questions. You never know what is going to come up. It is my wheel today. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, okay. This is a very, very good question.
Huh.
So it's National Space Exploration Day, and the question is, do you think we will make contact with an alien civilization during our lifetimes? During
no.
our lifetimes.
No, haven't no? done it yet. Don't think we're going to do it. I think it's out there, but I don't think we will.
I think we're... Okay. Bergman?
Not only do I think we will, I think we already have, and they're just not telling us.
Oh, you think they're...
Area 51?
You think they're here already?
Anything.
They've
they're
arrived?
Already here. Yeah. Mm. I'm sure they've already arrived. They're living amongst us. It's very
they're
much...
living
already.
Amongst
oh, yeah.
us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Jorge, they're already here. In our lifetimes.
As Sean McVay would say.
No, not really.
See,
no.
I really...
Cynical people.
I really do think we're on the verge of some kind of big breakthrough. Like yesterday, there's a report out of MIT... that there is a digital fast radio burst, an intensely strong burst of radio waves coming from deep space. The mysterious signals last for a few milliseconds at most, but the one lasted up to 3 weeks, 3 seconds, and included bursts of radio waves every 0.2 seconds in a clear periodic pattern. Don't you think we're close?
E.T. phone home.
I think we are close. Oh, nice. Pulling the Close Encounters theme out. Very good. Now, you think space exploration is kind of a waste of time.
And money.
But you don't see the value in it.
If they want to try and conquer space, go ahead. I have no interest in going.
Right.
You know, so I guess for me, I'm less impressed.
But you wouldn't devote public funds to going to – well, I guess now nobody does. It's all private
yeah,
money.
Yeah, it's all rich guys with money. You know, it's Elon Musk
and
taking
Jeff Bezos yeah. and, yeah, those guys, Richard Branson, they're all trying to get to space. One of them will figure it out. I think it's better as a private enterprise. But, I got this feeling it's going to happen. I don't think it's anything that's going to land on the White House lawn or anything like that, like you'd see in a movie. But I do think we will make some kind of real contact with some alien civilization at some point in our lifetimes. John. Oh, no.
So in Indiana, a pizza delivery guy saw a house on fire. Oh. Without hesitating, he ran inside through raging flames and rescued four kids inside. Then he found out a six-year-old was still left. He ran back to rescue her, too. His name is Nicholas Bostic. Know his name.
Nicholas Bostic.
Nicholas Bostic.
So I hope you got a good. You think you got a good tip from that house?
Yeah. I would hope so.
Very happy pizza. Story. Happy story.
Happy stories.
Yeah. Oh, stay tuned. Happy stories.
Lowest rated show ever produced in Los Angeles. Good news.
Was it called the Happy News?
No, it's called Good News.
Good News.
Yeah, it was on 4 o'clock on Channel 2, and it was the lowest rated newscast in the history of the LA market.
This will be the highest rated show in the history of the LA market.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So there's a guy at the All-Star game last night, and this is all over the place. This is on all the places we normally go. There's a guy that's really aggressively going after autographs with little kids at the All-Star game last night.
Nobody worse than this loser. So picture this, a whole bunch of players like walking on the field over near the railing, and a bunch of kids leaning over
with baseballs
trying to get these players to sign.
Here's a baseball, here's a pen,
and
please, Mr. Baseball player.
Some guy that looks like he's in his 60s or 70s is crawling over the kids trying to get these things signed. But it does give us the excuse to tell that story about your dad.
Yes.
Okay, which is one of my favorite Steve Mason Sr. stories.
So my dad was one of these guys that would go to the railing with all the little kids and try to get autographs. And he loved the 1985 Mets. And we went to a Pirates game to see the Mets play. And my dad was just crazy about, I want every Met to autograph this ball. I want every single Met to autograph this. So he's getting all the guys, he's getting Tim Tuffle, all those kinds of guys. And all of a sudden he starts yelling, "Straw!" And Daryl Strawberry's down by the dugout. "Straw!" And Daryl Strawberry looks over. He's one more time, "Straw!" All right, so Daryl, it's like, fine, this guy's yelling. I'm going to go over there. So Daryl goes over with, and my dad's got a pen and a baseball. And when Daryl finally gets there, my dad says, "Send Gooden over here. I don't have him yet." My dad was one of those guys, just like this guy. And you know what bugs me about this, John?
I never advocate for any form of physical violence. But if you're an old person and you're climbing over kids to get an autograph before they do, I don't care if you get grabbed by the back of the shirt and thrown five or six rows.
You know, I think that a lot, and I don't know if this guy's a case of this, but I know from, like, Bryan Cranston doesn't sign things anymore.
Right.
Because what happens is you sign something and it winds up in eBay 10 days or 10 minutes later, right? They're selling it on eBay because they're a collector and they're trying to make money off. Now, I don't know if this guy is one of those guys, but there are a lot of those guys that are trying to create memorabilia by getting these autographs. You know, from NBA hotels.
And a lot of it is fake. It's a whole scam. And I just think, if you're an adult and you're climbing over kids to get autographs at baseball games,
just a great big kid, John.
You're a loser.
He's not getting old.
Loser.
Not getting old. He's a kid.
Yeah.
Like my dad. He's just a kid.
Yeah. He's a great
big kid.
He has a maturity problem is what he's got. Ridiculous.
It was all around though last night. I thought it was a really fun game, really entertaining. By the way, Clayton Kershaw first inning was great. I love the pickoff of Shohei Ohtani. I thought that was great. Just all around great for Los Angeles that we had this game here, having the Super Bowl here and the All-Star game here in the same year. Fantastic. So John, I'm going to change course on you here.
Okay.
So I come across this story today. You know, we if you're a hiker, you've seen, chances are, rattlesnakes somewhere, right?
Sure.
Los Angeles is Los Angeles.
Yeah, I see them on the golf course all the time.
Okay, good. So I've got a story here about a guy who got bit by a rattlesnake. Now, you think, all right, so what's the first thing you would do if you got bit by a rattlesnake?
Suck out the poison.
Well, no, I
know that
that's
would
the
not
right answer. By
that,
the way.
No, if you're on, if you get bit by a survivor, that's what you do.
I mean, do I have the ability to call
somebody else
to call 911?
Yes, you have the ability to call 911.
That's what I would do.
Meanwhile, Bergman's sucking his thigh trying to get the.
You know what? I'm getting that poison out of me. I'm not seeing what the problem is here.
What if this thing bit your back?
Somebody else has to do it.
Yeah. No.
Hey, Joe.
So here's a story of a guy that actually did get bit by a rattlesnake. And he did what you said, John. He dialed 911 and went to the hospital. And, you know, he got treated, and it was he spent just about 9 hours there. What do you think the bill was for getting bit by a rattlesnake, the bill at the hospital?
Well, I assume it was all covered by insurance, but
he says he's got crappy insurance and he's afraid it's not going to cover.
Okay, I can't be more than $1,000. Cannot.
John, I've got the bill. I'm looking at the bill. It is $244,995.97.
So basically $250,000.
$250,000 to get treated. Is that crazy or what? I mean, is that really the world that we're living in right now?
It's why healthcare is like the number one issue in every election because of stories like this.
That is crazy.
Thinking twice about that sucking out the poison
thing,
huh?
Yeah, now I think maybe.
Maybe hey, Steve, get my back, dog.
Maybe hey, Steve, sucking out the poison was the way to go.
I was bit.
Yeah, maybe that is a much better, stronger play than I originally thought. $225,000 to get treated at the hospital. $245,000 to get treated at the hospital for a rattlesnake.
All right, so the four of us are out walking around.
Yep.
And a rattlesnake comes out of the woodwork and bites Bergman in the leg.
Yes.
And we are told...
You all let me die.
We are told that if you don't suck the poison out of Bergman's leg, he'll die. How do you play it?
Would Funches take over the job?
Probably very quickly, too.
You know, here's the thing.
Bergman, I would suck the poison out of your leg.
Thank you.
And
thank
I would
you, John.
Lord it over you
for the rest of our days. Don't do it.
I would, every time you said to me, Bergman, let's take calls. No, we're not. Bergman, I saved your life. All right, we'll take calls. Let's do a whole show with 20 guests.
By the way, the call thing, apparently we're eligible to take calls now. We took some yesterday.
We always have been eligible to take.
Nobody ever stopped you from taking
Greg
calls.
Greg just doesn't answer the phones when they call.
The yeah, Bergman.
I do answer the phone.
Answer the phone when somebody calls.
I do.
It's
rude.
We want to talk to the people.
In the breaks.
In the breaks. All right. Coming up next for you, Woj says this is the reason, this is what Russell Westbrook wants more than anything. This is what Russell Westbrook wants more than anything.
What?
Got it coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.